The Gospel of John. The Gospel of John. We are in chapter 8, and we begin our study in verse 12. John 8, verse 12, Lord, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the conflict continues between Jesus and the Pharisees. This time it's over the origin of Jesus Christ. And we begin in verse 12, Then spoke Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. In other words, Jesus is saying, those who are saved, those who live for the Lord and walk humbly with him will not live in ignorance. They will not stumble through this life without a moral compass, suffering for their own foolishness. So as long as we put Jesus Christ first, he's able to pour out on us knowledge and holiness and joy so that we don't stumble through this life doing self-destructive things. 13, the Pharisees therefore said unto him, You bear witness of yourself, your witness is not true. They think Christ is just talking big. I think he's boasting. They're saying anybody can talk big. Just because you say it, we don't have to believe in you. We don't have to follow you. 14. Jesus answered and said unto them, Though I bear witness of myself, yet my witness is true. For I know from where I came and where I go, but you cannot tell where I come and where I go. You know, it really doesn't matter what these religious leaders think of Jesus. What they think or what they believe doesn't change reality. Jesus came from God whether they believe it or not. Jesus is God whether they believe it or not. And he will return to God whether they believe it or not. The truth does not change simply because these people don't believe it. 99.9% of the people in the world could reject Christ. That doesn't change the truth of the matter that he's God and he's the only Savior. 15. Jesus says, You judge after the flesh. Stop there for a second. And they did. These religious leaders had poor judgment. It was poor because it was tainted. And it was twisted by their own feelings and their own prejudices. So he says, You judge after the flesh. I judge no man. Not the first time he came to earth, he didn't. First time he came to earth, he came to save, not to judge and not to condemn. That's why he didn't damn that woman who was caught in adultery last time. And that's why he didn't send these leaders to hell right on the spot for rejecting him. It's because he didn't come the first time to judge and condemn. He came to save. He will judge and condemn when he returns. 16. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true. For I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. In other words, when the time is right for me to judge, I will not judge in a superficial way. You know, the best that people can do is make a surface-level judgment. Really. And that's because people judge according to the information that their five senses give them. That's all they have to go by. The problem is, our five senses do not pick up on motives or thoughts. That's why our judgment is superficial at best. When the time is right for Christ to judge, he's going to judge motives, thoughts, as well as words and actions. 17. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bears witness of myself, and the Father that sent me bears witness of me. Jesus is not full of empty boasts. The Father by the words of the Old Testament writers, by the words of John the Baptist, by the miracles that Jesus did, and by his audible voice from heaven, the Father testifies to the fact that Jesus is his Son. So it's not Jesus alone, it's his Father that says the same thing in many different ways. 19, then said they unto him, where is your Father? Jesus answered, you neither know me nor my Father. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. It's not surprising that they didn't know the Father. They didn't know the Father because they didn't know the Son. You accept the Son, you get to know him, and you know the Father. Knowledge of God comes through knowing the Son of God. 20. These words spoke Jesus in the treasury, as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Jesus' hour was not yet come. In other words, the appointed time for his sufferings and death had not yet come, so they were not able to arrest him. Jesus had an hour. And you have an hour, and I have an hour. Each one of us has an hour, the hour of our death. And Jesus, or Almighty God, he knows the day, the hour, and the minute, and the second that we will leave our bodies and go either to heaven or to hell, depending on whether one has received Christ or not. 21. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and you shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Where I go, you cannot come. Soon Jesus will return to heaven. As for these Israelites, they're going to experience calamity like never before, and it happened in 70 AD. Calamity because of their sin against Christ. And when it happens, they will look for their Messiah. They will look for a deliverer, somebody to deliver them out of their trouble. But he won't be there because they have rejected him. And as a result, they will die in their sins, and they will die because of their sins. 22, then said the Jews, will he kill himself because he says, I go where you cannot come? Well, they understood that Jesus was talking about leaving this world. But what a wicked and a foolish suggestion that he would kill himself. You can tell that they just have reproach, scorn for Jesus. And no doubt this was said in a mocking way. Was he going to kill himself? 23. And he said unto them, you are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. Jesus was not from this world, but he came to it to save even the worst sinners that would turn to him. These Jews, however, would not be among the saved. And that's because they were of this world. That is, they were fleshly minded. And even worse, they're from below. In other words, they're children of the devil. And they're citizens of hell even before they get there. 24. I said therefore unto you, that you shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. If these people continue to reject Christ, they will die in their sins. Jesus is saying there is no plan B. And that goes for all people. There is no plan B. There is no way to get your sins forgiven apart from faith in Jesus Christ. And there is no getting into heaven unless your sins are forgiven through Jesus Christ. No plan B. 25. Then said they unto him, who are you? And Jesus said to them, even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. I've been telling you all along who I am. I'm God. I'm the Son of God. The Father and I are one. Before Abraham was, I am. I'm God. That's who I am. I've been telling you all along. Well, they want to know who Jesus is to talk the way he's been talking. Who do you think you are to say that we must follow you or we're going to be eternally lost? Who do you think you are? Well, he's already told them. And so verse 26, I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. Jesus could say many things about these unbelieving Jews. He could expose the sinfulness of their works and the sinfulness of their attitudes, but he will not. He, as always, is following the lead of the Father. He could say much more, but he will only say what his Father wants him to say. 27, they understood not that he spoke to them of the Father. They understood not. And you can already see the darkening of their minds due to the rejection of truth. It's going downhill. They're losing their grip on reality and truth. If you study the Gospels, you will see that earlier they knew that Jesus claimed equality with God the Father when he claimed to be his Son. They understood when he was talking about the Father in the past, but not anymore. They don't understand that he's talking about the Father here. They're losing their grip on the truth. The truth you don't use, you eventually lose. 28. Then said Jesus unto them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father has taught me, I speak these things. Lifting up the Son of Man means nailing him to the cross. After they do that, they will know that he is God. The darkness that surrounded the crucifixion, the earthquake, the resurrections, these will prove that he is the Son of God, and at least some of these people will believe. 29. And he that sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. Only the sinless Son of God could say what Jesus said right here. What did he say? He said he only did what pleased the Father all the time. No one but Jesus can say that. We may want to, and if we're saved, we do want to. But many times, even those of us who are saved and we love God, do things to please ourselves, not Jesus. It was please the Father always, and he did it every second of his entire life. 30. As he spoke these words, many believed on him. So we see that Jesus did turn a lot of people off with his words because he spoke the truth, but at the same time, many were saved. If a preacher waters down the word of God, no one ever gets offended. But no one ever gets saved. And no one ever gets set free from sin either. So what's the point? Why even do it? Why play church? I don't get it. Then said Jesus to those Jews who believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. Starting off well with Jesus Christ is important, but so is persevering to the end. We must remain faithful. In other words, we have to continue to trust in the cross of Christ to the very end of our life. We must continue to keep Jesus as our Lord and our Savior to the very end, or we're not saved. True believers, the saved, endure to the end. Now you can believe that you lose your salvation if you really have it. You can believe that you can't lose your salvation if you really have it. I really don't care, because the end result is the same. A saved person is one who has persevered with Jesus to the end. That's for sure. 32. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The world needs to be set free. Really. The poor, pathetic, blind sinners out there, they don't have a clue. The world is in bondage to all sorts of error in their beliefs and their morality. They're in bondage to superstition and religion that is leading them to hell. But when you receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you receive included in the gift of salvation, you receive truth. You have the word of truth in your hand. and you have the Spirit of Truth inside you, and you never have to be deceived about anything again as a result. 33, they answered him, "We are Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How say you, you shall be made free?" See, these Jews, they resented Jesus saying that they needed to be set free. We don't need to be set free. They said, we've never been in bondage. Man, what type of revisionist history have they been studying? We've never been in bondage? Well, how about being in bondage to Egypt? They were in bondage to Egypt. They were in bondage after that to Assyria, after that to Babylon, after that to Persia, after that to Greece, and then currently to Rome. And not only that, those who were rejecting Jesus right here were, even as they spoke, in bondage to sin and Satan. 34. Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whoever commits sin is a servant of sin." You commit sin, you are a slave to sin. You are obeying sin. People say, "I don't want to receive Christ. I want to be free. Free to do what I want to do." But they're not free. They are in bondage to the rebellion and the sin that they crave. They're not free. Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whoever commits sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abides not in the house forever, but the son abides forever." A slave may live and serve in a beautiful home, but there's no guarantee that they can go on living there because they're a slave. They could be fired. They could be kicked out because they're not a child. They're not a son or a daughter. On the other hand, a child, they can stay there always because it's their home. And Jesus is trying to tell these Jews that they're not children of God. They're slaves of sin. And right now, they've got opportunity, but that opportunity could be gone, and they could find themselves in big trouble suddenly and without hope. 36, "If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." The world needs to be set free, and Jesus is the only one who can do it. When a person receives Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, they no longer need to be a slave to sin, or religious legalism, or superstition, or the occult, or anything else, the devil. A Christian doesn't have to carry the weight of those things around the rest of their life, and that's what they are. They're weights, superstitions, false religions, sin, Satan, legalistic religions. These are heavy burdens, and they are joy killers. Serving Christ is exhilarating for a Christian, not a burden. 37, "I know that you are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you." They were physical descendants of Abraham, but they were not godly men like Abraham was. Abraham welcomed the word of God. Abraham was even willing to obey it when it was tough. He left home by the word of the Lord. He loved the word of God. He hung in there with the word of God, even when it was hard. He was going to sacrifice his son on the basis of the word of God. And these people, they're trying to kill Jesus because he taught the word of God. They're nothing like Abraham. Jesus said, "I know that you are Abraham's seed. I'm physical descendant, sure. But you seek to kill me because the word has no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and you do that which you have seen with your father." And that's the root of the problem between Jesus and these religious leaders. Jesus represented his father very well. They represented their father, the devil, very well. And that's why there was such a clash. They were on opposite sides of the spiritual spectrum. 39, they answered and said unto him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus said unto them, "If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham." Physically, they were Abraham's children. Morally, they were the children of the devil. Jesus is saying, you're not the spiritual children of Abraham at all. 40, But now you seek to kill me, a man that has told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Yeah, Abraham didn't ask anything like them. Jesus said, I've come speaking the truth, and you try to kill me because of it. Abraham didn't do that. Abraham was on the side of holiness, and he was on the side of righteousness, and he was on the side of truth. Children often take after their parents, but they didn't take after Abraham. They took after the devil. Which is why Jesus says in verse 41, you do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we are not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. In other words, they're denying the Lord's accusation. They're saying, we're not guilty of spiritual fornication. We've been true to the Lord God. We have one Father, and He's God. 42. Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but He sent me. It is ridiculous for someone to say, oh, I love God, but I reject Jesus, the Son of God, whom the Father has sent. That doesn't even make sense. 43. Why do you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word? They didn't understand the words of Christ because they had no desire to accept his teachings. They didn't want it. And a willingness to accept truth is needed in order to understand truth. 44. You are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar, and the father of it. Satan's a killer, and he's a liar. He's a killer. The devil brought death to the whole human race by tempting Adam and Eve to sin. He's a killer. And his temptation included lies. Lies about God. So he's a liar and a murderer. And so are these Jews. Liars and murderers. They are murderers because they are plotting to kill God's son. And they are liars because they say that God is their father. They're liars and killers. 45. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. They had no love for the truth at all. In fact, when they heard the truth, they didn't believe it. That tells you something about their moral character or lack of moral character. Moral reprobates like these people the Lord is speaking to have a twisted approach to truth. You can always tell when you're dealing with a moral reprobate. They have a twisted approach to truth. They raise all sorts of ridiculous challenges to the truth because they don't want to accept it. Meanwhile, they try very hard to invent reasons to accept untruths. Moral reprobates. Next time, verse 46. Until then, so long, everyone.